be exactly what you want to be without all of the fear around you.
We have to stand up together.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Chairman Project with Jason Cisneros. And we are going to be talking today about how your business is very similar to wrestling an octopus. And as I've been having my conversations throughout the week, it's just as a business owner, a lot of times what we're doing is we're sitting back and we're reacting to the world around us. And this show is really set up for those of you that have been here over the history, for those of you that are brand new, this show is set up for a specific reason. I like to view myself as a bully fighter in life. I love to, some people like to be bullies or bullfighters, but I look at myself as a bully fighter. And in my work in domestic violence and my work in feeding people and the work with rescuing children that are being trafficked, I decided to bring that energy into the world of small and medium-sized businesses. We're considered SMEs around the world. That's the official designation of an SME, which simply means that you own a business and you have either zero employees all the way up to 499. And so we have discussions for anybody that owns a business, that's thinking about starting a business, or that is in a business and wants to, you know, figure out some new tools, some strategies, some ways of looking at revenue generation and being able to separate yourself further from the wolves and put yourself further towards your desired end game or your desired, you know, some people, I think the world refers to it as retirement. And so as we have these conversations every single Saturday, join us live, by the way. I'm live right now on X, and we have a group of people that show up, a bunch of amazing human beings that show up 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. every single Saturday on X. It's live. And the show that we do here that you're watching on recording or on some of the other channels, we shut that off when I'm done, and then we have about a half an hour discussion. And there is some gorgeous conversations. There's a lot of ability for people to ask questions about what's going on directly in their business right now. And we have a half hour, 45 minutes. Sometimes it expands into about an hour conversation live after the show. So make sure you join us live if you can. And otherwise, I appreciate the audience. It's growing. I appreciate the attention. I appreciate the fact that the content that we're putting out happens to be making an impact out in the world. And here again, I just want to anchor in why I do this show, why I'm here every single Saturday, why the people that come in on X are here. And it really is an active revolution for us to swim through the garbage out there that everything's trying to get our attention, whether it's advertising, whether it's politics, whatever the divisions are, and to swim through that, to find the Genesis stone, so to speak, of our own lives. Like, how can we become stronger? This is, I speak to a lot of people, but I'm really speaking to you. And I'm speaking to myself when I do the show, because I want to know, what are the things that I have control over? What can I touch? What can I influence to be able to increase my freedom, to be able to be stronger for the things that I care about, to be stronger for my family, to put that proverbial distance between me and the wolves, and for me to get to that version of freedom. And so the show is a constant reminder that that is the outcome. We can talk about First Amendment. We can talk about all the things going on in the world trying to get our attention. But for the most part, as you sift through that, what you discover is very little of the things that are going on out in the world do you have direct ability to have influence over, right? And so that plays with our emotions. And our emotions are the strength that gets sapped out of us, because that emotion could be being turned into innovation. It could be being turned into starting your own charity. It could be being turned into you experiencing more of the world that exists besides your office, your home, and the time that it spends to be able to create and eke out a living. And so this is the idea that that financial freedom, independent access to capital, financial freedom is really one of those places that you can directly impact in your own life. And the greatest way to be able to do that is to be able to have a new perspectives and new tools and new ways of thinking, new strategies, new processes, new procedures. And that's what we talk about every single week, so that you, the individual listening to this, that's looking at my eyeballs or listening to my voice on X Live right now, so that you can create your own freedom. And here's why. Here's the ultimate piece and why we're building an organization. All of this is building to an organization called UBA, Unstoppable Business Alliance. And here's why. I came to the critical understanding that we as an organism, I'm speaking about here in the United States right now for what happened during COVID and whatnot, I started to understand that we are an organism that lives and dies with each other. And one of the ways that we can have that freedom, or the organization could die, the organism could die, is that we're not doing business with each other, that we allow this thing, this Genesis stone called small business, our independent access to capital, our independent access and ability to be able to create freedom for us and our families. It's directly linked to the 33 other million people in this country who have risked and decided to take a shot at this game of business. And I started to think, man, who stood up for us? We all got called non-essential. That group of 33 million people got called non-essential all at once by a government who didn't have our back. And guess who they gave that ability to continue operations? They gave it to the multinationals, the people that had lobbyists, the people that were advantaged, because we're busy as small business owners. We're busy actually keeping the wheels of this country running. 60% of the GDP in this country is done by those 33 million businesses, those 33 SMEs in this country. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, who's going to stand up for that group? Who's going to be the anti-bully person? Who's going to be the bully fighter in that scenario? Nobody stood up. Nobody. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to gather together with all my skills. Why am I still in the game? Why am I still playing this? It's to be a bully fighter. And right now I believe that the SME community is being bullied because multinationals, unethical organizations have sort of teamed together with an unethical centralized government. Again, not a political statement, but it goes to the title of today's show, right? Wrestling an Octopus. And as a small business owner, I know that, and having owned multiple small businesses myself, I know that every single day feels like you're under attack. Every single day feels like you're fighting, you know, you've got two arms and two legs and you're fighting an eight-armed Kraken. You know, so as I started to think about the battles that we all fight, that I have fought in my own business career, as I think about the battles that you're currently fighting right now in your business career, what kept coming to mind was this mythical idea of an octopus that was called the Kraken, you know? So I started to do a bunch of research. By the way, the octopus is one of the most intelligent creatures on the face of the planet. And there's some incredible things that I learned as I was doing my research for this show that I'll put in my show notes. Those of you that have signed up the website and you put your email address in, you'll get my show notes and some visuals that I put together every week. We're starting that actually this week. We started it last week. Those of you that signed up last week, you'll get last week's and this week. And it's built to exit.biz. So if you just put your email address in there, you're going to get show notes and whatnot. And I'm going to put a lot of the extra stuff that I found that I don't have time to get out in the show. I'll put them in those notes and you'll be able to see. But fascinating. And I started to think about the Kraken, and I was looking at some of the research that was done on it, and it started back the Norwegian Kraken. I'm just going to read some stuff here. One of the earliest mentions of the Kraken comes from Norwegian mythology, where it was described as a creature so large that it was often mistaken for a chain of islands. And in these tales, the Kraken would surface from the depths of the sea, creating a massive whirlpool that would draw in water, fish, nearby ships, dooming sailors to a watery grave. The sheer scale of the Kraken in these stories capable of disguising itself as land, illustrates its legendary status as one of the most fearsome creatures in the sea. And as I was thinking, man, as I was reading these stories about the Kraken, I was like, that is what it's like. Like, if you don't own a business or you've never owned a business, like, you can understand. Like, if you can understand, everybody can understand financial pressure, right? Everybody can understand having financial arguments or not having the outcome that you want. Everybody can understand that perspective. But as I think about my brothers and sisters in the SME community, I was thinking, man, we face Krakens every single day, every single day. And then there was a couple stories that came up that I just wanted to talk about. This one, St. Olaf's encounter with the Kraken. Another tale involves St. Olaf, the patron saint of Norway, and his encounter with the Kraken. According to legend, St. Olaf and his men faced the Kraken while sailing in the Greenland Sea. The creature emerged so close to their ship that its tentacles reached over the side. St. Olaf and his crew fought the Kraken with spears and hooks, eventually driving it off. This story not only highlights the Kraken's formidable nature, but also the bravery of those who faced it, adding a heroic element to the Kraken's mythos, right? And then, and again, it just keeps coming back to the SME community where I'm like, man, not only do you have this fear, you have this mythical creature called a Kraken, these eight arms coming out of the sea, but now you fight back, right? And so many of you out there with your small businesses, with your financial situations, you're like St. Olaf, right? You're like St. Olaf. You've got spears and you're trying to, you know, you're fighting a really challenging battle. And then the third one was the Kraken and the Black Tides. And some tales describe the Kraken as having the power to influence the environment around it. It was said that the Kraken would release a dark ink-like substance when it submerged, turning the sea black. The black tide was a warning sign to sailors that the Kraken was near and that they should steer clear. The imagery of the ocean turning black with ink, enveloping ships in darkness, adds a mysterious and ominous aspect to the Kraken legend, reinforcing its status as of a monster of epic proportions. The tales of the Kraken, with its immense size, destructive power, and eerie phenomenon associated with it, have contributed to its enduring legacy as one of the most epic and terrifying monsters in the folklore of maritime legend. And so again, I giggle because, man, it's great to find stories and things that you can wrap your mind around to understand the nature of the battle that you find yourself in. And again, I love my community. I love my community because I know to have a business at all, if it's just you or you have 10 people or you have 499 people, I know we know each other. Like, we're connected, we're bonded through a unique experience. I had dinner last night with a guy by the name of Roberto Monaco, and we sat down at dinner, and the thing that bonded us together was we were both speakers for Tony Robbins. And the bonding that we had, the laughs that we were having about the time that we spent together out on the road, we would go into a city ahead of Tony, and we would have 50 to 100 times where we would speak and we would, you know, be moving people emotionally to go to Tony's event. And we just, there was a special bond there that could only be experienced between people who had actually gone through the ups and the downs and the understanding of a very specific experience. And that's what we have together, right? That's how you can filter through. Like, you know, we talk about the gurus and everybody selling a get rich quick scheme out there and all that kind of stuff. And you inherently, if you know, if you own your own business, you inherently know when somebody doesn't actually and hasn't actually owned a business. There's a bit, let me try to explain it. There's a bit of terror missing from their voice. There's a bit of bullshit that comes through in their conversations. There's the wording that they use where you go, oh, and whether you acknowledge it consciously or unconsciously, you can hear through bullshit. That business owners are some of the greatest bullshit detectors I've ever seen in my life. We're also the most optimistic, which shuts off our bullshit detector sometimes long enough for us to get taken advantage of or to, you know, those kind of things because we have big hearts. But ultimately, we know when we're speaking to somebody else that has been through a lived experience, right? We know that we're speaking to another one of our brothers or sisters. And when you find ethical brothers and sisters in that shared experience, then you get to learn stuff. You can ask questions. You know that there's really no ulterior motive. This is why one of the greatest strategies that you can have for your business is to go find somebody in your community that's been in business longer than 10 years and just take them to eat. Just take them out for coffee. Right? I give that advice all the time, you know, and so understanding and being able to hang out and to be able to put this in a different perspective to understand that there's 33 million other people and a lot of people coming in and a lot of people going out, because 95% of the people in this that play this game go out of business in that 10 years period. So there's always a new influx, which is what the gurus, the fake gurus out there depend on. And there's always people going out. So what we want to do is what I want to do is build that group of people who have decided to take responsibility to build something, not to imitate something, but to build something. And in order to build something, you have to understand the nature of it. And then you have to have the skills and the tools and the processes and the procedures to be able to execute and to be able to make that thing stand against the winds of time. We talk a lot about in this environment that most people are building, the imitators in business have built sandcastles right on the water where it can get knocked over with the next wave that comes in. Right? We're talking about building a Taj Mahal, something that will stand the test of time, that will meet your needs, your family's needs, and then ultimately the environment that you live in, your local market, the things that you care about, your charities, whatever. That's what this is all about. Hi, my name is Jason Cisneros, founder and chairman of Anton J. Global, a world-class business consulting company that has helped hundreds of clients and thousands of Growth Course students fix, scale, and successfully master their businesses. To put it simply, my team and I help people turn their businesses into machines that create cash. To better support startups and other mid-sized companies, my team and I developed a phenomenal and comprehensive digital growth course where I pour decades of business ownership and know-how into 20 hours of content. This course is not easy. It's not an easy pill, but demands real work from you to implement the blueprints that I've developed. We know that reaching financial freedom is never easy, but totally worth it. Go to growthcourse.com right now to learn more about the course and get started on your business journey today. And so I took this idea of the Kraken and it just made so much sense. Then I started to look into what are the details. Like, so if we look at the Krakens of our life, whether it's mythical or not mythical, then what are the attributes? Because I fully believe in knowing, you know, especially in the rescues that we do for these kids, you got to know the enemy. You got to know the tools that are going to be used against you so that you can protect yourself and then ultimately achieve the outcome that you're looking for, right? To be able to, whether that's to rescue a child, whether that's to help a woman out of a domestic violence situation, whether that's to put the food in the mouths of somebody that's starving, whether that is for you to be able to further your distance from the wolves, we got to understand that we are fighting something. We are fighting against something. We are fighting against, whether it's mythical or real, we're fighting a battle. And so as I looked at the attributes, the overwhelming attributes of the octopus, here were seven things that popped up. And there was many, many more. And again, you'll see those in the show notes if you put your email address in at builttoexit.biz, built, B-U-I-L-T-T-O, exit, E-X-I-T.biz. And so here's the seven. Adaptability, right? So an octopus or the Kraken in our lives, they can change their color and blend in, right? Think about all of the different people that you've come up against that they kind of blend in. You don't really realize that they're attacking you, but you know that they're there and they can change their colors. Intellect, they have complex nervous systems. They're incredibly smart. Three, camouflage. Right? They can hide in plain sight. Number four, dexterity. They have eight arms, right? When you're battling, when you're fighting the battle out there, you're like, man, I only got two arms. You forget sometimes you got two legs as well, but that's four. That they have double the dexterity, they have double the arms to be able to fight you. And they're very precise with those eight arms because they've been working with them for a long time. They have the ability to regenerate, right? So if we get rid of something that is an attack in our life, does it go away permanently, or does it have the ability to regenerate? This is a key understanding in business, is that if you don't fix repetitive problems permanently through building an asset, which an asset is a combination of strategy tied together with process, procedure, tools, people, written down so that somebody could follow it, that's an actual asset. But if you don't solve that permanently through an asset, does that problem tend to regenerate itself and show up again in your business or your life? The answer for me was always yes. Six, jet propulsion. It wasn't just that these old bastards are fast. It was that they had jet propulsion. And so when things come at you in your business and in your life, does it feel like they're coming at you with jet propulsion? Right? Are they coming at you fast? And then the seventh one is that they do have a venom. And that venom is very poisonous. As you face down your krakens in your life, does it feel sometimes like you get that venom injected into you and it like takes away your ability? It takes your health. It takes your relationships. It takes your joy. It takes away a lot of those things as you're doing this thing called business when you're doing it incorrectly. When you haven't learned some of the skill sets, when you haven't learned some of the traits, when you haven't learned how to defend yourself against them. And so let me identify, let's focus in on the eight legs, okay? Or the eight arms, whatever we want to call them. And I wanted to identify in your business eight, and you can do this for yourself, by the way, because you all are in a unique situation, right? Keith Cunningham, one of my mentors, he's the Real Rich Dad in the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books. He talks about that business is not a bathrobe. One size does not fit all. And so this list that I'm going to give you is just some stuff that came to my mind, but maybe make a place for yourself to fill in. What are some attacks of the eight arms or legs that are attacking you? If you can identify them, then we can build a defense. Right, we can build a defense because we know they're coming. If you think about all of the shows about the Kraken and all of the movies and whatever you've seen, they're fighting and the people that they're fighting, they're either unprepared and they die quickly, or they're prepared. Right, they're prepared. They've done training. They've trained. They've listened. They've read the past. They've looked to the future. They are prepared. They may not win, but they're prepared for the battles that are coming against them. And so the eight that came to my mind, number one was in the mirror. It's myself. One of the greatest challenges that we face in our business, like it or not, is ourselves. What do we think about money? How do we think about the political environment? Where are we spending our time? Where are we wasting our time? Where are we investing our time? What are we learning? What do we know that we don't know? How much of our ego is in play? How are we treating our employees? How are we treating our clients? Are we process improving our outcome, our product, and our service consistently, right? We have to deal. Our biggest battle in the business community is the battle against ourselves. And so I put that up as one of the eight arms of attack. The second one is the labor market, right? Now I want to dive in here just for a second, because the labor market, that's an area of attack. Right. We all know. And it was blatant to me over this week, blatant to me, because Emily and I were both taking care of a bunch of things in a lot of different areas in our business, in our personal life, and some of the stuff that we're doing, on our own. I don't want to go too far into it, but there was this overwhelming understanding that the entire world has decided at the same time, not to give a shit. And I'm talking every company that we dealt with, not companies that had hired us or not companies that we were working with, or it was everything from restaurants to phone calls to insurance to all of these different things. The entire world at one time has just decided, I don't give a shit anymore. Because there's no penalty, right? There's really like, what are you going to do? Fire me. Well, I'll go find another job. February, by the way, was the largest month. These are indicators of what's coming. February was the largest month. They were like, oh, look at all these jobs that were created, right? The jobs report, which is always revised down. So it's never right. It's never true, but it is a leading indicator of what's going on in the economy. And you as a business owner should always be aware and apprised of predictive lead measures that are giving us indicators of what's coming. And so you look at the jobs numbers and it's like, oh, there's 265,000 jobs added. There was 185,000 jobs lost. And of the jobs that were gained, 260,000 jobs or somewhere around there. I'm not going to get the number exactly right, but it was like 260,000 of the jobs that got added were people who were taking on a second job. That is a leading indicator. So at the same time that they said, oh, the things are really, really good, because we can count on our culture not reading shit, not opening the bills, not opening the laws that they're trying to pass, not opening, you know, we just don't read. But if you dig into February's numbers, you will find a very troubling trend on the way. And it's partially because the entire world decided not to give a shit, the COVID situations, government, leadership, unethical capitalist businesses, corporations, multinational. There's a lot of stuff that feeds into it. But when I see that, right, I think it was Warren Buffett that said, be fearful when everybody's happy and be happy when everybody's fearful. And I know that's not the exact quote, but that is the situation we find ourselves in. Your business can leapfrog not only your past performance, but your competition, if you understand that you live in an environment where customer service is a new idea. We're falling in love with the outcome of your clients is a new idea. We're falling in love with the outcome of your employees is a new idea. You can build right now that will slingshot you miles beyond your competition when the world will necessarily have to return to sanity. Sanity's missing right now. And it happens throughout history. You just happen to be able to be blessed and to be present and actually have a business and have the opportunity to be able to take advantage of a situation where everybody else is not being professional. If somebody else doesn't give a shit, then I won't have to give a shit. That's the general rule. If I don't have to work that hard, then if everybody else isn't working that hard, then I'm not going to work that hard. Now is the time for builders to actually build. It's the perfect environment for you to be able to slingshot yourself past all of your past performance and all of your competition, and to be able to put you in a very, very enviable position very, very shortly here over the next 18 to 24 months. Okay. So I looked at that. Labor is one of the arms. Government, obviously, that they have their tentacles, multiple tentacles in your pocket. A bunch of people who have never produced anything, they've only managed shit, and now they're up there and they're like, oh, how can we get more tax money? How can we pass a bill? How can we empty the pockets of the producers in this world to give to the people who aren't producing? And I'm not against people who go through a hard time. I'm not against supporting them. I'm not against supporting people who have the inability to be able to provide for themselves. The young, the elderly, the sick, the infirm. Like, those are the things that we should be building, and we should be having excess capital. Our tax dollars should go towards. But we're not seeing that. We're seeing government money just printed. They can't extract enough out of the producer's pocket, which is you, because one of your biggest expenses is your taxes, right? That's the government. That is a big tentacle, and it splits into like multiple tiny little tentacles that are always sucking out the money and the excess and the capital that you yourself produced. Okay. The next one was legal. Okay. Legal. Lawyers everywhere. Lawyers everywhere. My wife, by the way, is a recovering attorney, and there are some great attorneys out there, but the legal world out there is set up. We just saw it extract illegally multiple millions of dollars by passing a law and then sunsetting it to convict one person. Okay. Again, not politics, but when you look at how frightening that is in the business, in the world of business, is that if you get too big, you say something that people don't like, that they can just come in and actually set a law and sunset that law just to put you in legal jeopardy. Legal is a major tentacle. Okay. Competition. Your competition is a tentacle. They are looking to take money out of your pocket and put it into theirs by being better than you. Okay. Distraction. This is a big one. A big tentacle is how much you're allowing yourself to be distracted. If your behavior, and I'm not saying don't take time to rest and meditate and pray or go to the beach or go on vacation. I'm not saying any of that stuff. What I'm saying is, how much of your time during the day, if you've got 12 chits of energy, right? 12 chits of opportunity. Chits are just chips. I don't know why I said chits, but I started saying it 5 years ago and I've never stopped. But you're given 12. Let's say that 12 represents the 12 hours that you have to be productive in revenue generation. Okay. How are you investing those 12 or spending? You're either investing or spending. How are you investing those 12 chits? And if one of those chits is spent on scrolling through social media with no outcome other than being entertained, then have the conversation with yourself and say, is there a better way for me to invest that chit during that 12 hours? Okay. Distraction is a major tentacle. The next one is support. And I actually wrote down support in quotation marks, because you are surrounded in your business by people who want to, quotation mark, support you. Okay. Think about all the vendors, all the opportunities, all the technology, all the newest, greatest, all that kind of stuff there to support you. But what they see is they see a producer and they know the challenges that you go through. You're trying to bring down your look, write this down. This is crucial so that you can understand it. There's three things that people know about all business owners. You are trying to reduce the pressure in your life, which is, you can call it whatever you want to, stress, anxiety, whatever you want to, but the pressure, you're trying to get more time and you're trying to make more money. And so if you know that those are your three most vulnerable spots to be taken advantage of, then you should put guards against it. Reduce your own pressure, right? Create your own time. Make enough money that you are safe and that you have distance and that you have ultimately have all of your choices back, right? Those are the three that support, and I'm doing quotation marks. You're going to love this when you watch it on video. Support, right? Around, those are all the people, those automatic replies you get on LinkedIn, not saying that the automatic replies aren't smart, but hey, do you have a great website? Hey, do you, blah, without even knowing you, you're like, okay, they look interesting. I'll friend them. And then bam, 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 bam. There's all of those support automated emails that want to do what? Get into your pocket, get into your wallet, get into the excess capital that your business is creating, which is fine. There's great tools out there. There's wonderful tools, but there's also a hell of a lot of distraction.
Are you a business owner that's looking to build your company into a machine that creates cash? I'm Jason Cisneros, chairman and founder of Anton J Global, a world-class business consulting company that has turned around, merged, or prepped for sale hundreds of companies just like yours. I'm best known as the architect when it comes to fixing and building companies across the globe. My experience comes from owning and exiting over 20 of my own companies successfully. It's that real-world experience that I've converted into the ultimate blueprint that has saved and grown my clients' businesses. If you're tired of getting bad advice, have bought all the books, all the coaching programs, and still aren't seeing the success that you were promised, it might be time to work with a team that has actual experience and a track record of success. Please scan the QR code or visit AntonJ.com to schedule your free 15-minute consultation to see if we can help you reach your outcomes. That's AntonJ.com, AntonJAE.com.
The next piece, technology. I had a very specific conversation about this week that will maybe help you think through this. Technology as an octopus arm or leg or whatever they call them that would suck excess capital out of your life. Technology is a tool, okay? And I wanted to be very specific. So let me pull up my notes on this particular instance, right? Is that that technology is a tool. If it's not set inside an asset, remember what I said about assets. Assets are strategies, systems, processes, procedures, and tools organized into a machine-like process to create predictable, repeatable outcomes without the requirement of the owner's presence. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. An asset is strategy, systems, processes, procedures, and tools organized in a machine-like process to create predictable, repeatable outcomes without the requirement of the owner's presence. When I talk about assets, that's what I'm talking about. That's an asset. So when you get technology and you put that and you implement that into your business, it's a tool. How many people out there, just say in the comments, right? How many of you have bought that guy's program that eats donuts and has shredded abs, right? How many of you have bought a piece of technology that you absolutely don't use, right? How many of you have bought that computer program that was going to show charts and get your finances in place that you don't use? How many of you have bought some sort of a Peloton or some sort of a workout machine that is collecting dust in your garage right now, right? How many of us have done that? This is a common distraction. This is a common tentacle that reaches into your pocket, steals your time and your money because you get fired up about something, don't implement it, right? Technology is one of those big pieces. And there was an article that I came across in Fox Business. I'm just going to read a couple of lines out of it. And let me see who wrote it so I can properly attribute. Eric Revel from Fox Business. And he was, the title of the article is, AWS launches program to boost AI and tech competency for small and medium businesses, right? That's our family. That's us. And it says, Amazon Web Services recently launched a new program aimed at helping small and medium-sized businesses build competencies in area like AI, the cloud, and other skill sets to be more competitive. Small businesses often don't have the technical resources or depth or maybe experience to think migrations or AI as a perfect example. They're not necessarily going to have a data scientist on staff. Ben Schreiner, US head of business innovation for SMB at AWS, told Fox Business. So our partner network at AWS is incredibly important for helping those customers to be successful, realizing whatever strategy is, or even experimenting with some of these new technologies, okay? So AWS is going, we've got these incredible tools, we've got AI, we've got all these other things, and they're like, why is nobody using this shit? And by the way, this article completely misses why it's not being integrated. It completely misses why that they're not being implemented into businesses for the purpose of making more money or becoming more successful. Because the business owner, it's a distraction. It's not a tool because it's not attached to a wider strategy. They don't understand. Most business owners, like I said, remember, 95% of companies are going to fail. That means that 95% of the companies out there are imitating being a business. 5% understand building. 5%. And so what I'm talking about every single week, week after week after week after week, is how to be in the 5%. And so when you look at technology, you have to understand that you need to build an asset. If you don't know that you're building an asset in your business, then technology is a waste of time. because you'll spend time on it. You'll get whatever it is that you're trying to get out of it, but it won't be tied to the other moving parts. You've heard me say this. I'll say it every single time on him here. A business that somebody can walk into and buy has about 40 assets that have been completely built out and are interconnected with each other without the presence of the owner. A well-run cash flowing business has 18. Most companies out there don't even have three, because it's just the process of, I've got to sell, that money comes out, pays my bills, got to go sell some more. There's like three assets, maybe that are built, and it's not even built. It's just so repetitive that it just happens over time. But if you get sick, if there's a dip in the economy, if a competitor comes in, if an employee leaves, if you lose a critical client, your business has no ability, no flexibility to be able to defend against those type of tentacles. That is 95% of the companies. You know how I know? Is because they will be out of business predictably. Eventually, they will be out of business. And a lot of times, the ones that are surviving, it's a lot like marriage, right? Oh, there's like, 60% marriage divorce rate. And then you get that comment, that comedic comment that always comes back, and who knows, out of the 60% who wouldn't like to get out of that marriage. it's not necessarily a happy marriage. And it's the same thing in business. Just because you're still in business 10 years later, it doesn't mean that you just haven't figured out a repetitive system that requires you over and over and over again, that sucks your soul from your body. It ruins your relationships. It sucks the health out of your body. Why wouldn't you want to understand how to build assets? Why wouldn't you learn that one skill set? Like I said, 40 in a company that's ready to sell at any moment, 18 of them being built out, is something that is almost optimized cash flow repetitively without the owner involved. And then there's the crucial four that I'm going to get into when we start talking about the arms of defense. But that's technology. And then the last tentacle, the eighth tentacle that I wanted to talk about, was cash flow. Cash flow is one of the biggest ones. I put it as number eight. It should be number one, but I put it as number eight because it's so critical to the lifeblood of your business. Jason, I get that we should have these four assets built, and I understand that. I would love to get to 18 so it's cash flowing. I'd love to get those 40 built so that it's something that I can sell, right? Because remember, built to exit is around a three-pronged principle. Built to exit.biz, there's a book that's going to be coming out, is built around three principles: that you should be building your business to exit it. And there's only three types of exits. You move from obligation to optional, or you move, that's one form. You love what you do, you want to keep doing it, but you're no longer obligated. You could take a trip, you can go away for a month, you could have some kind of crisis show up, something out in the world could happen, and you can adjust to it, right? You're no longer obligated, it's now optional. The second form of option is total time freedom. And the third one is a sale. And sometimes those things merge together. But that's why I built to exit, because if you don't know that you're building to exit, you're building to be an employee of your company. And for the most part, the truth is that most of you have built yourself a job that is a sandcastle. That's why we're having these great conversations. So those are the eight that I came up with. You could come up with your own, but let me tell you the defense. The eight arms of defense, right? If you know you got eight arms coming at you, then you need to build up eight arms of defense. And some of these will be repetitive for those of you that are here, because they need to be repetitive until you've actually built these into an asset, right? The asset being the strategies, the processes, the procedures, the tools, the people, all systemized in a way that can be repeated without the presence of the owner. Okay. The eight arms of defense, and I'm going to go through these quickly because we are running out of time. Your end game. Okay? Your end game. If you don't have your end game specified down to the penny and the day, then you are pretending to be a business. You're pretending. You're not building anything until you get that one arm of defense up. What do I want? When do I want it? How much is it going to cost? Okay. Number two, you have to understand that you are building a machine. If you're not building a machine that ends up with repetitive behaviors without your presence, one by one, I know it takes time. I know you have to know what you're doing. I know that you have to understand the principle, which is why I repeat it so often, of what an asset is. A business is just a bunch of interconnected assets that operate almost autonomously. And I know that's hard to imagine when you're in the situation where you're in, where it's like, Jason, it's me on the end of a phone. If I don't sell something, I don't live. Right? Or I've got an employee, but they're not really great. And I just put that employee to take away the shit that I don't do. Yes, I understand that. This is the art of understanding what needs to be built. Okay. So if you don't understand you're building a machine, then what you have created is an imposter. So you've got to be building a machine. And the machine in a business is comprised of fully flushed out assets that the quality of that asset is always being improved upon as time goes by with process improvement, which is also an asset. If you've done the growth course, growthcourse.com/freedom, if you've done the growth course, you understand the four that I'm about to get to, because we go 28 hours into how to build those four assets. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, falling in love with your target audience's outcomes. Have you sat down? Have you asked people in your target audience? Have you sat down and asked them, if I was to fall in love with your perfect outcome, how could my process, procedure, how could my product or service meet your needs at the highest level? If you don't have that in place, again, one of those arms is going to come in and slap you in the face, maybe pull down your boat or your ship, to be to be correct. I've been corrected on that before. Okay. Number four, you have to have the ability and the skill set of assessment. Number four is you have to have the ability and the skill set of assessment. What that means is you have to constantly be looking at, and again, if you're a growth course graduate, you know what I mean. There's a 7-day process by which you're constantly assessing the decisions you made 7 days ago. And so you have to have the tool, the skill, and the ability of assessment and the discipline to continue to assess, because your business is doing nothing more than giving you clues every second that it's open. Your business is shooting clue after clue after clue after clue after clue. And most of us are professional dodgers of the clue. Whoa, I'm dodging out of the way because somebody didn't like my product. I'm dodging out by saying that the customer sucked. Whoa, I got an opportunity to improve my ability to hire people by dodging the fact and saying, oh, everybody sucks right now because they're terrible employees. We're just dodging left and right. We're like, whoa, I'm dodging every left, right, every clue that our business is giving us, we're dodging. If you have a tool, a system, a process, and a procedure in place to be able to assess your business constantly, you will know what decisions to make consistently to build your business to your desired end game. Okay. Now, let me get into the four. And we've talked about these before, and I'm going to wrap it up with these. But these are the four in defense against the Kraken that's coming after you. And these are the four that we work at. Like, we do Anton J, AntonJae.com. That's the my consulting company that actually goes in physically and helps companies either merge, acquire a new business, do a turnaround if they're in trouble, next level if they've been stagnant for a while. We help startups, those kind of things, right? But these are the four that we go to work on and build assets in as soon as we've assessed. Okay. As soon as we've assessed the situation, the environment, the tool sets available, the database, the employee base, the customer base and relationship, all those things, once we've assessed, we go immediately into throwing lead downrange. We talked about Sam K last week. If you want to go watch that show, please do. But we talked about Sam K. You've got to throw some lead downfield to suppress the oncoming attacks. And once we do that, through the assessment, we know where to throw the lead, okay? Then we step into immediate building processes around sales, This is number five. Number six is operations. Number seven is financial. And number eight is culture. We build assets. Again, I could say it over and over again, but it's strategy tied together with process, procedures, tools, and it's written down in such a way that you get repetitive results. Now, in repetitive results, if you're getting the repetitive results, now you can process improve. If your sales, if you can build a machine that will consistently crank out $10,000 a week in sales, guess what will happen? After 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks of that, now you can go in and say, oh, what if we tweak this little piece? What if we did? Because you're building. You're not just throwing mud against the wall. You're not just a firefighter. You're not just responding to emergency after emergency after emergency. And when your sales are good, you take a little break because your operations suck. And so then your operations get fixed. And then all of a sudden your sales aren't there. So you got to go make more sales. Everybody that's ever run a business understands what I'm talking about right now. And you hate it. You like it in the beginning because we have those kind of personalities. We are driven by adrenaline. We're driven by solving problems. But when you've solved the same problem 767 times in a row, you're tired. When I went out of business, when I lost everything, when I built back, I said, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to do it again. So I learned about the magic of assessment. I learned about the magic of building assets. I understood that I was trying to reduce my pressure. I was trying to increase my time and increase the money that was repetitively making itself without my presence. Massive breakthrough for most of you that are listening to this for the first time. And again, it could be a massive breakthrough for those of you that have been listening to me for years. So sales, assets. What can you do? What systems and processes and procedures and tools can you piece together that produce repetitive sales, the predictable amount of sales? What can you do that in operations, which operations is just the delivery on the promise, that mechanism is in place to create what? A raving fan client. You're going to create a raving fan. Every time you have a client, it should result in getting paid on time, right? Getting paid the original amount, creating repetitive business from that same client and getting referrals from them. That's what operations should produce. Your financial assets are the things that are teaching you what's coming at you. All those clues that I said you're dodging, it's like a catcher's mitt. Your financial understanding, your financial assets being in place catches all the clues, processes it, into making better decisions, and then goes back into the machine to improve the behavior and of the machine. And number eight is the cultural assets, right? The cultural assets are, what are the behaviors? How are we going to treat each other? How are we going to treat ourselves? And how are we going to treat our clients? That has to be anchored in as an asset so that every single time somebody interacts with your brand, with your product and or service, that there is a predictable experience that they're going to have with it. And that experience should do one of three things predictably. A business only exists to save people money. People that are hiring you, they're only hiring you or buying your product or service to save money, to make money, or to improve the quality of their life in a measurable way. That's it. That's it. Those four assets, you build them out correctly. Now you give yourself and create what's called a gap. You create a gap of time that you now can begin working on the total 18, the cash flow, what we call the optimized cash flow 18. And then in that, what that does is give you another gap. Once you've got the 18 out, you're no longer really actually necessary in the business for a predictive amount of cash flow. Then you can step into the 40, which means that you're going to build something that people want to buy. We use the Casio watch at $20, right? It does have working parts, does tell you the time, the date, and the seconds, right? Tells you the hour, seconds, and date, right? Tells you those things, but it's $20. And it doesn't last very long. Or you can get a Patek Philippe chime, Grandmaster chime, that took 100,000 hours to build, but is worth $31 million. They only made seven of them. Six of them sold before the watch was ever completed. That's what you want to build. And that's what you can build. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets or you're doing HVAC or you're painting walls or you're a consultant or a coach or whatever it is. It doesn't matter what the product and or service is. You can always improve the quality of your assets to improve the quality of the output of the machine, the quality of the output of the machine. It is measured in one thing, free cash flow. Okay? Free cash flow. Your machine isn't producing predictably free cash flow. You don't have a machine. It's that simple. So that's it for this week. It was just fascinating learning. I learned so much about the octopi, the octopus, the kraken. I learned so much about it, and it's so applicable to our lives. A better, maybe not a better, but a different way for us to look at the game that we're playing. The world is set up to take away from producers. Just get right with that understanding. And you're a producer. If you're listening to me, if you're following the stuff that I'm doing, if you're involved in my podcast, if you're a graduate or a participant or a student in the growth course, if you're coming on board as an implementer and learning our strategies so that you can become a certified Anton J. strategist, I know that you're in the fight and that you're looking for the right information. And that I know that you have a backbone. And I know that the world is out there with its tentacles trying to take away from you because you're a producer. Because you're a producer. Doesn't matter how much you're producing. They'll come after your $5 just as much as they will your $5 million. In fact, going after your $5 million, they're way more qualified the more money you have. And there's more tentacles that come involved. So let me wrap it up by just saying, like I always do, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your attention. Thank you. I want to specifically speak to my people on X. Thank you for coming here live every single weekend. I am filled with pride. Like, y'all are the reason why I keep doing this week after week after week, because I know you're here. I hear your stories of what you're doing with the information. I hear the increases in your distance away from the wolves and your tracking towards your outcomes. I get to hear you from you. I get to do business with some of you. I get to have dinners with a lot of you. I love the live community on X, and thank you so much. And if you don't have time on Saturdays and you're watching on replay, I love you too. Because I know if you get all the way through this content that you have shifted your mindset, that you know that I could care less about what you can do for me. It's about what we can do for each other. And that each other is all of us around the United States, all of us around the world that own small businesses or thinking about small businesses or side hustles or whatever it is that you have. Because if we go away, so does freedom. That is why all of the things that I'm doing are stacking up a bunch of steps to build UBA. And it'll be the very first organization built of business owners to represent business owners' interests against a centralized government and against unethical capitalists. That's what we're building together. Day by day, step by step, asset by asset, we work together. Thank you so much. Please share this out to other business owners that you know would benefit from this message. Please share this out to anybody that you love. Put it on your own social media and make sure that you take these notes. If you want the show notes, make sure that you go to built2exit.biz. Put your email address in. You'll get my show notes and any visuals that I've put together on the show. And what else? Go to growthcourse.com/freedom if you want to get a discount on the growth course, 28 hours of the best business building content out there. If you have a company that you need help with, go to AntonJAE.com and set up a 30-minute call with us to see if we can help you. Other than that, I can't wait till next week. I've got 6 shows lined up that I'm excited about, just back to back to back. And they're going to all build on each other for your own freedom, for your own passion, for your own end game. And that's what we do here together. So I am Jason Cisneros for the Chairman Project Podcast. I love you all. I'm now heading into the live with our live audience on X. Peace.